spring has sprung, although not quite yet here in Bristol Bay, at least not in Dillingham. It's still quite soupy and soggy out there. But something that people often experience in the spring are allergies. So I'd like to get started on that topic and go from there.
Well, I think it's reasonable to start with what are allergies? It seems like every week we talk about something about the immune system. Allergies are your immune system's reaction to something that normally wouldn't bother a person, but for some reason your immune system decides that it's dangerous. Something like dog dander or dust or pollen. Allergies can be hereditary. If you have a family history of one kind of allergy, that makes your children more susceptible to allergies. For instance, in my family, I had one sister who had asthma as a child. I had eczema as a child, and another sibling had hay fever. All three of them kind of walk around together and clearly were expressed in different ways in each of us, but we all came from the same set of parents.
You kind of answered my next question, which was why some people have allergies or seasonal allergies.
It can be hereditary, but it can also just sort of happen. According to some of the literature that I was reading, allergies are most common between ages of about 5 and 15 or 16. Then folks usually have a couple of decades of not such bad problems with allergies, and then they tend to come back later on. I certainly noticed that in myself. I never thought that I was allergic to cats till I was in my 40s and we were sleeping with a cat, and then the cat had an indiscretion on the bed, so I washed the entire bed, kicked the cat out of the bedroom, and lo and behold, I didn't wake up with itchy eyes and runny nose every morning.
Right, and I think that brings up another point, which is that some allergies can be severe and some can be less severe, so you might not think that you have an allergy to a cat, for instance, but once that cat is gone, symptoms that you wouldn't necessarily associate with the cat go away.
That's true. I think one important thing for folks to think about, if they are chronically having stuffy nose and itchy, watery eyes, is to look at their bedroom environment. I regularly had recommended that people, particularly people who have pets, and I mean, heavens to Betsy, I'm still sleeping with a dog and a cat, and if I were worried about the fact that my eyes itch every morning and I kicked the dog and the cat out of the bedroom and then washed all my bedding and then slept without them for a couple of days, I could get an idea of whether or not they're the cause of my itchy, watery eyes.
Or what are some of the seasonal allergies that are more common in Southwest Alaska? Are there region-specific allergies?
There are region-specific allergies. The kinds of trees that are common in Southwest Alaska, for instance, the spruce trees and the birch trees have their own pollens, and people can be allergic specifically to birch pollen, let's say, or to the spruce pollen when, you know, it's so thick it's on your windshield every morning. People can also be significantly allergic to the other pollens that come from the grasses that are growing all over the tundra. Probably one of the most common things that I see people that I suspect are allergic to is the dust. And I think this is probably a more significant problem in places that do not have paved roads. But for that matter, I had a lot of dust in my house and all I had was a dirt driveway. I think that there are a couple of things when you do have seasonal allergies that you can do to reduce your symptoms very simply. Number one, wash your face when you come in after being outside. Your eyelashes' purpose in life is to catch pollen before it gets into your eyes and catch other things before they get in your eyes as well. And if you wash that off your eyelashes by using a little bit of baby shampoo to just make sure you're really getting your eyelashes clean without hurting your eyes, that will decrease sort of that itchy, watery eye problem that you've got. Using a saline nasal spray in your nose to kind of wash the pollen and stuff off your nose will also help reduce your stuffy, runny nose problems. If you can't do that right away, do it when you think of it and at least go to bed clean. Once again, I think since you spend optimally 8 hours or so in bed, make your bed a place where your face is clean, your nose is clean, and your bedding is clean so that you have that 8 hours without concentrated fluff getting into your nose and making you worse in the morning than you were when you went to bed.
Absolutely. a couple summers ago, I was hiking on Snake Lake Mountain, and there was this orange pollen, and I couldn't really identify it. It was kind of like in the air and on the grass and stuff, and my eyes just puffed up. They were puffy for, I think, the evening, and then it went away, but I had never had that quick of a reaction to something that I assume was that pollen that was in the air.
Having that quick reaction is a common thing with allergies. Many people wonder about the difference between allergies and a cold, for instance. Allergies usually show up fairly soon after you've been exposed to the allergen, and I'm talking within minutes to hours. A cold usually happens 2 to 3 days after you've been exposed to the virus. Although the symptoms can be pretty much alike, the same stuffy, runny nose, sneezing, coughing. Although allergies should not cause a fever. If you do have a fever, you probably have been exposed to a virus.
Right, so you bring up something that I think a lot of people have thought about over the past year, which is how to tell whether your symptoms are allergy symptoms, cold symptoms, or COVID-19. You mentioned, you know, a fever is a good indicator that it is something other than allergies. Are there any other factors that people should consider?
Well, there are some degrees of symptoms, I guess. Shortness of breath can come along with allergies, but unfortunately, shortness of breath can also come along with COVID-19. Now, generally speaking, the shortness of breath with allergies should not cause a drop in your oxygen level. Of course, how many people have a home oxygen monitor? Probably more now than a year ago. I think the other, goes along much more with COVID-19, for instance, would be muscle aches and just extreme fatigue. Now, you can have some fatigue with allergies, but I'm talking extreme exhaustion and fatigue with COVID-19. Also, you shouldn't lose your sense of taste and smell with allergies. They can be blunted a little bit. That means not quite as strong. You may not be able to smell things as well if your nose is all stuffy, but you should still be able to taste and smell things.
Can allergies appear later in life? You mentioned that the most common ages were childhood and then kind of in your middle age. Can allergies appear essentially at any time in a person's life?
Yes, they could. And specifically with regard to food allergies, that's a great topic, and we probably should dedicate a show to that one. But 8 foods account for 90% of the reactions in the United States. The top 8 food allergies are cow's milk, hen's eggs, peanuts, tree nuts, wheat, soy, fish, and shellfish. Food allergies can be absolutely life-threatening, as can other allergies from other exposures, and that life-threatening reaction is called anaphylaxis. That involves your body really reacting to whatever it is you're allergic to, with your tongue swelling, the feeling like your throat is closing, a weakness, fainting, low blood pressure. That is a medical emergency, and you should go to the hospital. Many people who have known allergies of that type carry epinephrine with them, and they should use it when they see these symptoms coming on them, because that can save their lives. Developing allergies to these kinds of foods, or in particular, I am thinking of a person I used to take care of who had an allergy to shrimp. She knew she had an allergy to shrimp. She hardly ever ate shrimp, but one day she had some shrimp, and it tasted really good, and you know, her tongue got a little bit swollen, but she didn't really think much about that, and the next day she ate more shrimp. It still tasted great, and she wound up in the ICU because she went ahead and ate it, and it's as though her body had remembered that she was allergic to shrimp with that first meal in years, and by golly, when she had that second meal, it really reacted.
Interesting, kind of like a compounded effect of the allergy, where, you know, your body kind of recovers, or your body kind of has these defenses in place. But if you are exposed multiple times to the thing you're allergic to, that could potentially make it worse, or could potentially make the reaction more severe.
Yes, it could. Although they also do things called immunotherapy, which is intentionally exposing the body to tiny, tiny amounts to try to get the body to not react to it. Just like you get two COVID shots, the first shot is to allow your body to see this antigen, this thing that it's not used to seeing, and can make a response to it. And then the second shot really boosts your immune system's response to that. So if it sees it flying in the wild type, it can attack it quickly. The same thing can happen with food allergies. If you have been very careful to avoid the things that you're allergic to and then just taste something and doggone it, your body remembers.
Absolutely. There are a couple common over-the-counter medications that come to mind. One of the most common would be Benadryl. Can you go through how allergy medications work?
Certainly. There's actually a very elegant picture that I keep in my mind. Inside your body, there are cells called mast cells. And they look kind of like blueberry muffins. And each blueberry is a little pocket of histamine. Histamine is the chemical that your body releases when it sees something that's foreign, and it causes swelling and runny nose and whatnot. Antihistamines, like Benadryl, work by blocking the action of histamine in the body. There are other medicines that can kind of act as chill pills to those mast cells in your nose. Common ones are steroid nasal sprays, which are a really useful thing for people who say, man, every April I start getting this stuffy, runny nose. To them, I would say you might consider using your steroid nasal sprays starting about 2 weeks before your allergies normally kick in. That may prevent them. If you don't have 2 weeks, you could go ahead and take a Benadryl before you go outside and expose yourself to the pollen that you're allergic to. Although the downside of Benadryl is that for many people it makes them sleepy. Over-the-counter Claritin is also an antihistamine, works in a similar fashion to Benadryl, but is not as likely to make you sleepy. To just treat the stuffy nose symptoms, you can use a decongestant like Sudafed, and that may help relieve your symptoms as well.
All good stuff, I think very useful as we head into spring and summer when snow won't be covering everything, hopefully. Thank you for all of this really handy information.
It is my pleasure, and have a great day.